Really tried to pray for the service, and I've just been real excited about this time, and it's just a blessing to be here. I can already feel the Spirit, and I thank God for that. I really do. Amen. One of the things that I've been thinking about for some time, and this is a book that we've actually been reading through in class, and I guess it was back about that time that I began thinking about this thought and started to study it a little bit, and the thought of cause and effect came to my mind. Cause and effect. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that can't happen unless something else happens. You know, when I look back on things, and I even look back on a message that I got to preach a couple of times a while back, and had some things not happened, chances are I would not have had that message. And it was just amazing to think about how, as and I know the church here knows about it, but how car trouble can give you a good message. It's amazing how some things in life that happen that seem so dark, so dreary, so bad, can actually have a good ending to it. And I kept thinking about how all that came to be, and how that if this didn't happen, then this wouldn't have happened. And if that wouldn't have happened, then this couldn't have happened. And as I got to reading and studying and thinking about those kind of things, it just led further and further and further. And it led me to this chapter here. You know, I think about things having effect. I think about going to the dentist. I think about the numbing that they put in your mouth. I want that to have some effect. I want that to take some effect. I don't want them to start drilling. I've actually had them do that before and the numbing not take effect. And that's a very painful thing to go through. You know, and I think about my life, and I think about even more serious things about what kind of effect am I having on people? What kind of effect is my life having? And as these things come to mind and I begin to study, I was led here to Romans chapter 3. And the definition here, it's just the simple philosophical thing here, but it says, cause and effect refers to the philosophical concept of causality in which an action or an event will produce a certain response to the action in the form of another event. And I think I've just kind of give you an illustration or explain kind of how that can be. As things happen, we need to be aware of what certain things we say or do is going to have on other people. Romans 3:3 says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" And as you look back, and if you read back through this here is talking about the Jewish people. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision, which every way, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God?" See here, the Jewish people, what they had was given to them as God's chosen people. They were the ones who had the law. They had the oracles of God. And if you're taking the class, this is something that was touched on recently in school and the way it comes out here is the Jewish people at this time, they were, I guess, looking at it as we've got the law, we have circumcision, and we have the Jewish name. We have what we have. We are God's chosen people. And then the question here is asked of these people, "For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" So what is being asked here is, if they don't believe, then that does that automatically make God's faithfulness of ineffect? Does it just mean nothing? Just simply because they don't believe, does that change God's faithfulness? And I got to looking around and I got to thinking about that. What if that was the case? What if that was true? What if people, if man's unbelief really did mean that God's faithfulness was not of any effect? And as we go through tonight, I want us to see some things, and pray for me, because God knows God really knows. You know, people, sometimes I've heard people talk about they can't believe God would send somebody to hell. That's a comprehension, and it's a false comprehension. You see, God gives man free will. Nobody made you come here tonight. That was of your own free will. Nobody can force you into being saved. That has to be of your own free will. You know, when Jesus went to the cross and died, that was of his own free will. He could have come down at any point in time, but that was of his own free will. And we see those things and we think about that side of it. But the other side of it, as it may be, is if man chooses not to believe in God, he can do that as well. That's if he chooses not to accept Christ, that's of his own free will. He has a choice to make. And you know, when people say that I just can't believe God would that loves everybody and everything like that would send anybody to hell, he doesn't send anybody to hell. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That one verse alone takes away that every thought that anybody could say that God just hates people or sends people to hell. And as I keep reading and thinking about this, though, I think about not only the effect of what God has done and what we see in people and man's free will and things, but what is my effect? What is our effect tonight? And primarily, when I was studying this and looking this over, it caused me to think about Christians, saved people, true Christians, church members. What are we telling people? Is what we say and what we do matching up? The first thing that I want us to look at is the cause and effect of what we say. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 7. Verse 15 through 25. And this is some, you have to kind of read it slow here. And this is familiar, but you kind of have to read it slow. Verse 15 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would, not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, is not no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do it good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity, into the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Now we understand, if you've been saved any amount of time and you're trying to live for God, you got to understand there is a battle going on, a daily battle. It's not something that's just conquered overnight. It's not like a diet fad that you take the diet, then all of a sudden magically you're done and you don't have to do anything else. It's something that goes on every single day of our lives. Some days are harder than others. There's some days that I know for myself, I can get up and the birds are chirping. Everything seems to be going well. You know, when Preacher Wynn preached on Jonah, my wife said, "That is you, that is you, that is you." And I got to thinking about that. And when I was sitting there and hearing him preaching, all I could think about my wife is what she's going to say to me. She's going to say, "That is you, that is you, that is you." And I kept looking at that and I thinking about that, and she's right. You know, different things can affect us. Different things can affect our emotions, our feelings, you know. But, you know, no matter how we feel, if we're saved, we're saved. That doesn't change. I heard somebody explain it one day. If you woke up tomorrow morning and you didn't feel like your parents were your parents, would they still be your parents? Absolutely. Everything's not based on feeling. But when I look further and further into this and think about the decisions that we have to make, we need to kind of have a predetermined mind that we're going to do what we're going to do. And we're going to do what's based on the Word of God. And here at the cause and effect of what we say, chapter number 12, verses 35 through 37. And this is Jesus speaking. Matthew 12, 35 through 37. Says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." That's something that I really want us to slow down and think about here tonight. On a daily basis, how many people would you say on average that you come in contact with? And what do you normally talk about? Just think about it. Just think in your mind. Think about an average day. Who do you hear being talked about? Is it family members, friends, co-workers, church members? We live in a small community where everybody knows everybody. And it just seems like a lot of times that, when we share news, we hear things. And I even know that good news or bad news, and when my wife gets home and we sit down, we start talking about things, one of the first things that usually happens is, "You know what I heard today? You know what I heard today? You know what so-and-so told me today?" We are accountable for every word that we say. This isn't rocket science. This isn't something hard to comprehend. But, you know, it's easy to get with a group of people. And I've seen this. I've seen it happen before. If you're not mentally aware of what is going on, you'll find yourself in a situation you really don't want to be in. I've seen people talking before. We'll be getting maybe a group together and talking, and somebody's name will come up. Somebody will say, "Well, you know what I heard? This is what I heard." And let's say it's not even somebody that I even know. And then all of a sudden somebody will say, "Well, this is what I heard." And before you know it, a person you don't even know, you've already got a preconceived notion about this person, yet you don't even know them. So the next time you see this person, possibly in the back of your mind, "Yeah, I know that person. He's a crook." Because these other two people that were talking. You know, it is so easy. I've seen it happen, and I've seen it happen so easy. It can start out, and if you're not careful, before you know it, you'll be in agreement with these people. And you don't even know who he is, who she is, or what they're really talking about. And you'll be shaking your head in agreement with them, and next thing you know, you're lumped in there with them. How would it be if you're the one that's not present, and your name is the one that's in there, and they're talking about you? Everybody may not know the entire story about what's going on. You know, and when I look at this, and there's a lot of people that we come in contact with, and I guess we live in somewhat an uneventful place at times, and it seems like if people are looking for something to talk about, the neighbor's probably a pretty good pick, it seems like. But you know, I can't help but think about the harm that can be caused by this, the damage that can be caused by this. You know, I just remember thinking back to settling in my mind that if somebody's going to start talking about somebody, I'm just going to walk off. And there's been days that's been pretty quiet days. The old saying of if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. That's not a bad rule to follow. You know, I got to thinking about our young people, thinking back on my life when I was younger. I tell you what, there's some things I wish I could take back. There's things I've said that I wish that I never said. I didn't mean it. And out of anger, flew right out before I could even stop it. And there it's done. And you think about the damage that's done there. I think back to being younger and foolish in some things and the way I used to act and things I used to say and do. And all I can think about is, how does that affect my testimony today? People that only knew me then has no idea who I am now. I'm not saying I'm perfect or nothing like that, but I'm saying, would these people, some of these people I met back then, would they even come to hear me preach? You know, it really makes it real if we will slow down and think about what we say before we say it. And again, young people, you really need to think about this. You know, it's easy to think, well, I'm young, I'm foolish, nobody's paying attention to me anyway. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what your friends around you are thinking. You'd be really surprised. You know, I look around at preachers and different people in the community, different people in the church, and I really look up to them. There's a lot of people that I look up to and I take note of. And that really causes me to think, what if people are looking that way at me? There's a lot riding on this. You know, there's some people out here that aren't trying to live by the same rule book that we're living by. And if they know that you're a Christian, one of the things that they love nothing more than to do would be to get you just tore up and fly off mad and say things you shouldn't say, uh-huh. The old accuser comes out. I knew there wasn't nothing to that church. I knew there wasn't nothing to that Christianity. I knew it. And he just proved it. Think about the effect that we have on each other and on people that don't even know the Lord. Second thing is the cause and the effect of what we do. James chapter 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Not somebody else deceiving you, not Satan deceiving you, but deceiving your own selves. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." That really talks to me. That's a predetermined mindset that we're going to have. Each and every morning when we get up, we're going to have a mindset of what we're going to say and what we're going to do and why we're going to do those things. Because it says here, continueth therein. We're going to have to set our minds to this. We're going to have to think about this and focus on this. This isn't something that just happens. We're being held accountable for what we say and what we do. And this is a couple of things here that I've thought about. And I never, ever glorify sin. But I just kept thinking about my life and my testimony and what's real to me. I think back to a time that I wasn't living like I was supposed to be living. And there's places here in Boone that I would go with some other friends that I shouldn't be going. And I remember one night, we'd been off and everything, had my car parked there on King Street. I remember coming back to my car and I saw a white piece of paper up underneath my windshield wiper. And I thought, have I got a ticket? I don't know what this is. And I read that note, and I started looking around. That note said something to the effect of, I've been seeing what you've been doing lately. I've been seeing where you've been going lately. I'm concerned. I'm praying for you. And underneath it, it was signed, member of Mountaindale Church. You talk about something that hit home with me. Who done this? Who saw me? Who was it? And saw me doing things and being places I shouldn't be. Who was it? You talk about conviction hit me hard. It took a long time before I figured out who it was, and it was a friend, a true friend. Didn't even go to Mountaindale Church, but he knew. And I tell you, that really spoke volumes. That really grabbed attention to my heart. People are paying attention to what we're doing. Another conversation that comes to mind, something I think about too, is my own wife. Me and Brandy were talking one time. We were talking about things and just different things about salvation and why people do some things they do, and a saved person just won't do this, and different things like that. And we were talking to her, and I was with great conviction. I was telling her, Brandy, a saved person just can't do that. A saved person can't go out here and just live like the devil and it's okay. You know what her response was? How did you? You talk about hitting home. How did you? That's not an answer that I could just come right back with. It made me think about the effect that I had on my wife. You see, at that point in time, I thought she had been saved, but she hadn't. During this time that I was just not living for God like I should and doing things that I shouldn't and backslidden, I was affecting my own wife and didn't even know to what magnitude. That really makes me think. You know, I've even talked to some people that, you know, I don't doubt their salvation, but sometimes they might say and do things that a real true Christian probably wouldn't do. And I think back to a time of a couple of people having a conversation, just different times over the course of years, everybody thinking they were saved and all those things, and later to find out this one person wasn't saved. And they later got saved. And I kept thinking back, what kind of influence was out of them? These other things that went on, we all thought that we were in. So, you know, there's no harm in just a little bit of bad, is there? Nobody's perfect, right? I mean, just a little bit ain't going to hurt us. To later find out that this person wasn't even saved. And I got to thinking, Lord, all these years and all the different times that my actions could have been a testimony to them, but they were looking, well, I'm no different than him, so I probably got it. You know, we're all the same. We all look the same here. I've probably got it. We just don't know. We have no idea how we affect people. And to take it a little bit further, this is kind of each other and different, I guess more of a personal thing, but, you know, I keep thinking about something else too, and this is something we've talked about, me and some of my friends together, and just trying to make sense of it all, is Facebook. You know, what amazes me is how you'll see somebody post all these pictures, all the beer, the alcohol, the party, the riotous living, if you want to use that term, all these different things, and you see them just living the high life, as some people would call it. And then all of a sudden, you'll go through a few posts, and you look down, and they'll say how good the service was at church. That confuses me. As a saved man, that confuses me. What does it do to the lost person? What does it do to the moral lost person that doesn't even go out and drink and do those things? I'm better than him, and I don't even go to church. You know, it's amazing how some people, I don't know if it and I know that society is getting lax, but it's the effect that self-proclaimed Christians are having on the world in general. And it's just out there advertising every single day. And you think about these people, and this is just here locally, and you think about these people, and you think about their churches. What effect are they having on their churches? What effect are we having on our churches? I look back on the time of my life, and if I could take it back, I would. I would. But you know, there's a problem that I see. Is if a person says or claims to be saved, and some of these things don't change, something's not right. Something just doesn't add up. You know, we need to pray for these people. I can't help but get over and think about, I guess people think that they're not being paid attention to, that they're not being looked at, like maybe they don't matter. But if you profess to be a Christian, you matter. God chose us through man to do His work. We're a walking billboard day in and day out. There's no clocking out. You know, I got to thinking a little bit more about some of these things. How many of you have ever heard of Newton's law? Kind of, there's like three different laws, and I got to looking into that a little bit. And the third law of Newton, it says, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And I like this definition. I like what they give here that I read. I can't remember exactly if it was online or where I got this definition, but they gave an example here. It says, this law is exemplified by what happens if we step off of a boat onto the bank of a lake as we move in the direction of the shore. The boat tends to move in the opposite direction, leaving us face down in the water if we're not careful. And I got to thinking about that. That kind of spoke to me right there. To give you an example, you know what I'm talking about. If I'm on a boat and I'm going straight, trying to head for shore, and I kind of kick off, if I'm not careful, that boat goes back too fast, I'm looking at landing face first in the water. Amen? And I got to thinking about my Bible. If I step off that Bible onto my own, where am I going? Face first. I'll give you another example. I don't swim well at all. But there's me and my cousin and one of my friends. We got in a canoe, and this was years ago when I was in high school or just shortly after high school. And we got in that canoe, and we got out in the middle of the water there. And from what I understand, it's about 20 feet deep or deeper in some of the deepest parts of that pond. It's a big one. I was scared to death, but I wanted to kind of go along with my friends. So we get out there. And once we get out there, one of my friend said to my cousin, he said, if anybody wants to get out of the boat, tell me. Tell somebody. Don't just stand up and jump out. Bro, you ain't got to worry about me. I ain't going nowhere. I'm good. We get on out there, and I'm enjoying it. Everything's fine. The three of us are together. My cousin jumps up and says, see ya. Off the side he goes. And before I could even realize what was happening, the boat turned one way and it turned the other, and there it went. My feet never even touched the ground. Everything went quiet. Everything went dark. I reached up and grabbed for the boat. And it was a show to see because it was up and down, and there's that one little seam right there in the middle. I was physically exhausted by the time I got out of there. One of my friends was able to come and swim out, and he was able to stop it. And I got back in, and they pulled me back to shore. And I use that illustration to say this. Don't ever think your actions don't affect somebody else. Because I had no intentions of getting in over my head. But that day I did. And it was by the actions of somebody else. Now I'm not taking away your accountability. But what I'm saying is, pay attention to who you're running with and what you're doing. Don't automatically jump on board just because everybody else is doing it. And as I further read and I further studied and everything, it automatically brought me to the cause and the effect of Christ. If you will, let's look at Romans chapter 3 again. You know, when I think about the cause of Christ, why did Christ come down here for me? Why did he come here? Why did he have to go through what he had to? And this is good scripture. Verse number 9, I'm going to be reading 9 through 20. It says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they were all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin." That is the cause of Christ. There is absolutely no other way under heaven to get to heaven. There's no other name. There's no other religion. There's no other person or no other being to profess to. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And he knew that. He knew that. Newton's first law, it's also known as the law of inertia with Galileo, it says here that every object in a state of uniform motion tends to remain in that state of motion unless an external force is applied to it. I think back to my life and the direction I was going, the way things were going, and it was just a non-stop motion. It's just like, there's nothing I can do about it. Just going right on down the road. It's like sometimes I could almost watch my life just go right on down the road. Like there's nothing stopping it. I remember a time in my life that I felt like that I was going through a cycle. Just a revolving cycle. It seems like there was a time that I would go to church and I'd get in there for God and I would be serious about it. And all of a sudden it's like that revolution would kind of fade out. And I'd get back out. And then all of a sudden, I'd kind of start fading back in a little bit. It's just like this continual revolution. And when I think about this, I think about when God was calling me to preach. I said, "God, we've been through this. You don't want me." Remember that guy that went through these circles time and time and time again? "You don't want me. The only thing I'll do is make a mess out of what you're doing." And I said, when I've prayed, I was like, "Lord, I've already caused enough trouble. I don't want to take it this step. I don't want to go this further because it'll be a bigger repercussion at the end." And I just keep thinking back to what he done for me and how if I didn't tell somebody, who else was going to? If everybody had the attitude of somebody else will do it, then who is going to do it? I just thank God for him touching my life and what he's done for me and the way he done it through mercy. There's so many times I look back and say, "God, why did you just not take me out?" He had a bigger cause. He had a bigger cause. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. I really like this. Verse number 12 says, "And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Praise God. He died for the worst of the worst. You look back on Paul's life and Saul and all the things that he done, and God saved him. God saved him. There's nobody God can't save. There's nobody that God can't save. But there's something that has to be done for that to happen. Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 5 through 9. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, wherefore we speak. But one in certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set over him the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That's Jesus' cause. That was the very reason he came to this earth. You think about the vilest sin. You know, we talked a little while ago about things you look back on, like, Lord, I'd take it back if I could. I'm sorry. Well, don't do it again. Repent. Don't do it again. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter number 5. There's quite a bit of reading tonight, but this is something that I want us to see. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne of a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and who to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man I found worthy was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look thereon. And as I read that, and as I studied that, I got to thinking about how many of us have a door that we need open right now. How many of us need something that's open to that needs something open to us right now, and you can't do it. You can't do it. You look around in your church, and you look around in the community, you look around everywhere. Nobody can do it. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. This is my favorite part. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are as seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new, song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Tonight, I want you to see the effect that Jesus has made for us. You know, there's a lot of things that we may go through in this life. There's a lot of things that's going on. There's a lot of things that we're facing. But there's one that can open every door. There's one that can break open every seal. There's one that has the answer to every question. Why is this happening to me? Where are we going? I can't see tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. What about this? What about that? I'll tell you right now, if you know that one person, none of that matters. You might think that's easy to say, but I'm telling you what, we're going to face things in life, and you're not going to have a whole lot of places you can turn. Right here. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look thereon. You know, I think about this. There's a lot of people right now that would love to help but can't. There's a lot of things that needs to be done that man just cannot do. The sooner we learn to look to him, the better off we're going to be. I mean that. In my life, there's times that I thought I could take it upon myself. I could work it out myself. If I wanted something, I'd find a way to do it. I'd find a way to get it. I'd make a way somehow. It come to a point in time, I found myself pinned down. Ain't nothing I could do. Nothing. And I just thank God for his mercy tonight. Boy, I tell you what, this has blessed my heart. I just can't praise him enough for what he's done for me. You know, I look back on the past year, almost year, and I remember right when we lost the job, what a time that was. What an experience that was. A position I never thought I'd find myself in. And just, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? What's going to happen? And I just remember talking to Brandy. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to try to stay faithful. Because of these very things that we faced in our life before, we had learned through different experiences before, we didn't want to go back into that. I don't want to make Christ of none effect. I don't want people to look at my life and say, Jesus ain't on him. Boy, if he claims to be one of his, boy, he ain't much. Well, I ain't much. But I'll tell you one thing. I've been without a job for the past year. House payment's not late. Bills are paid. That ain't me. I'm telling you, it ain't me. I can't do anything. That's Jesus. That's what I want you to see. That's what I want us to see tonight. There's things that are going on in all of our lives, big, small, that there is nothing that we can do anything about But we have to stay with Him. We don't know what He might be doing. You know, I got to thinking about this too. This is like working out. I'll be honest with you. There's times it hurts. There's times I just want to quit and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I want to tap out and quit. But I keep thinking about, you know, and I used the example the other time about the sports and everything. Boy, there's things in our lives that will condition us. God knows our breaking points. God knows what it takes to get to us. God knows what we need. God's not going to give us things to hurt us. He'll give us things to grow us. He'll let us go through things to help us. You know, all He wants us to see is Him. I'm telling you, tonight, if you're going through something, surrender it to Him. Give it to Him. Don't fight it. It ain't worth a fight, I'm telling you. You can fight things on and on and on. Let me tell you, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But I just thank God for His mercy and what He's doing in my life. And if this is conditioning, I just pray and pray and pray that God will continue it for His will and for His glory. Because only He knows what tomorrow holds, and that's good enough for me. That's more than good enough for me. I'll tell you what, if I could go back in time, I can't think of a lot of things in recent history that I would change how events went. You know, I keep looking back on life and saying, well, maybe if I did this, or maybe if I did that, this wouldn't have happened. But I thank God, I stand before you tonight and thank God that it did. I thank God that He got my attention when He did and how He did, out of love and out of mercy. It's just like when God sent that fish for Jonah. Man couldn't send a fish. Man could have sent an ark. He could have sent a boat. He could have sent a raft. Man couldn't send a fish. I just thank God for sending me my fish, because I know it was Him. I can see Him all in it, and I thank Him for that. I just praise His holy name. That's what I have tonight.